I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The issue there right now would seem to be the length of the years in the contract. You know, again, Trey Hendrickson and TJ Watt, they want more years. The teams want to give them fewer years. Both players are in their 30s. So for the players, it's about getting as much guaranteed money as you can over a longer period of time. And for the teams, they want to keep the players, although obviously it feels like Pittsburgh is more intent upon keeping TJ Watt than Cincinnati is with Trey Hendrickson. Nobody's been able to get a deal done. And I think the bigger issue right now is the length of the contract, which equals guaranteed money, right? Like that's the issue on both. I think Pittsburgh and TJ Watt somehow will figure out a way. Best I could tell, they haven't gotten close recently, but we'll see if they can figure out a way to get that done by the time camp begins.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by our good friends at South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Looking like there could be thunderstorms coming your way, wherever you are in the area. That is your Fan weather, brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Cam Hayward just went on Rich Eisen's show and had some comments on what they've talked. He also has a response to people like Malzi and me who would be open to a TJ Watt trade. So that's coming up in a few minutes. That was Adam Schefter's spin on things. Says it's going to come down to the length of the deal and guaranteed money. Not exactly earth-shattering stuff there, because that's what it's probably been about the entire time, money and guaranteed money. And that usually translates into how long the contract is. The longer it is, the more guaranteed money you're going to get. We are a week away from these guys reporting to training camp. And here is the question I have for people at 412-928-9370. How will you feel if he holds out? Because there really is nothing like this in, you know, how many examples of this are there in Steelers history?
Of true holdouts?
Yeah. Le'Veon Bell wasn't under contract.
Doesn't count.
He wasn't being
Eric Green
paid by the team.
Was the Eric Green a holdout, or Rooney just thought it was a distraction and so he got really upset about?
I don't think he held out, Chris.
I have to search my memory banks here, and I figure I trust you and Donnie even more to remember.
Rod Woodson didn't have a contract when he was a rookie, but that again is different. A holdout means you're under contract. You're technically getting paid by the team.
And you're not there.
And Bell didn't do that. Mike Wallace had a weird thing where there was a restricted free agent tender that he didn't want to sign because he wanted a new deal, and he waited to sign it, and that's why he was late for camp. All of these guys had situations that I think are not really analogous to this one. This would be a true holdout. If he did what he did in minicamp, and elects to do that next week at St. Vincent College, he will be, I think in modern Steelers history, kind of on an island.
All right, I have this
did
up
Hines
here.
Hines Ward
in 05.
Okay, that was the next one.
No, I'm sorry, he considered it, but Dan Rooney and Jerome Bettis talked him out of it. Behind the steel curtain, I'll give them credit, they did a history of holdouts. They
like listed, Merriweather, but that's
yes,
different.
But I think that one just has to be read about for the quote. He compared Dan Rooney to a dictator, claiming when he was trying to get rid of veterans, quote, like when Stalin came into power in Russia, he purged the whole party.
Ah, yes.
End quote. Didn't think I would have that one. AB didn't go to voluntary in the 2015.
Not apples to apples.
Not in the same realm. Yeah, I think this would be the first one. So, how would I feel?
I wouldn't like it. I'm going to come right out and say it. And you might, if that makes me fuddy-duddy Filippone, well, fine.
Fuddy-duddy Filippone.
Yeah, because I know how the Steelers handle these things. If he goes and shows up, they're not going to ask him to do much. He's going to be allowed to go off on the side and do his own thing. So I do think it's like a contractual act of war if he decides to not show up for this. You know, he signed the contract.
I guess it doesn't. I have to be consistent here, and I'm going to be consistent. I always say that players should do whatever they think they need to do to try to get the money they feel that they deserve. And so I would be making a carve-out here for TJ Watt because maybe it's the time of lowest influence or leverage for him coming off his worst year, coming off a horrible playoff game. I would be disingenuous if I said, oh, now it's suddenly different.
But Chris, you have to admit that, like, if that's your take, like, yes, I always have to side with the players.
Well, just I even take Ben's side whenever he would want every last dollar. I'd say he's entitled to it.
Yes, but if he were, like,
if he was coming off a bad year and it was, like, unprecedented, I'd be like, bad look for you probably, and you're going to have to live with that. I think it's a bad look for what if he holds out.
But siding with a player and saying, you only play once, get as much money as you can. The owners are billionaires. You're a millionaire who only gets like one bite at the apple. That is different than saying, hey, when you're under contract, don't show up to work. Because you would admit, and I know this is the most extreme example, you're saying you're always in it for the players getting as much as they can. If Patrick Mahomes thought he could get another $50 million from the Chiefs by sitting out a playoff game, you wouldn't say, go ahead and do it, Pat. Like, there are obviously exceptions to the rule or examples where you would not like just have that.
Yeah, like there are extreme things that are basically unprecedented where at the pro level, if you've made a certain amount of money, I would say, I think you play here.
And
buddy.
I didn't say cut him or I didn't say that's the reason why I would trade him. All I said was if he held out from camp with a contract, I would not like it.
For what main reason, though?
Because he's under contract. We did shows together when Bell wasn't under contract. I was on his side with that, unpopularly, I may add, because he didn't have a deal. That was his prerogative. He had waited the year before, and it didn't hurt him.
But isn't this the same old kind of story where when the team does have a player under contract, albeit not guaranteed, because we know that's the biggest fight always in the NFL is guaranteed money.
Yep.
I don't feel like when a team cuts loose a guy, we pay it any mind. In fact, most of the time, if we think they have good financial reason to cut the guy loose,
sure,
we say good business by them.
I agree.
And so that I do find that distasteful when the shoe is on the other foot and the player feels I warrant more money than you currently want to give me on my next extension. I'm not going to show up. I'm going to essentially show my displeasure here. It just doesn't feel right to me to say he's under contract. You should be there, buddy boy. Like, you know, go and hold in and stand off to the side and show you're all for one and one for all. And
he's not showing that by being off on the side. It's like, in my opinion, a compromise. I'm not all in with the team right now because I don't like my contract situation, but I'm also not like so embittered that now like I'm turning this into something that's like a massive distraction over the team. If he's there and just doing things on the side because it worked out so well the last time, it's not a distraction whatsoever. He's doing his thing. Tomlin's not like holding his feet to the fire. He doesn't feel like there's like acrimony there. Like it'll work itself out probably. If he's not there, I'm going to be ticked off at him.
I'm not going to be ticked off at him. I'm going to think it's a pretty inopportune time for him to be trying this coming off of such a, by his standards, mediocre year. And I think it was when the sack numbers, you know, get brought up and when his late season fade gets brought up. And I do say that as somebody that has never been like the, relative to his production and standing within the league, I've never been like TJ Watt is an indispensable Steeler where I have wanted to see good things happen to him personally because I think he's the right, he's what it means to be a Steeler.
Yeah.
Cam Hayward, different story. Like a guy like Troy, different story. I look at Watt as more of a mercenary, and this is mercenary behavior. You know where I think it will affect him if he actually holds out? I think it's going to knock him down a peg and probably should in some ways. In terms of how people view their all-time, like the most Pittsburgh Steeler guys there I've ever been. You know what I mean?
But by that comment, you're making it sound like you think fans will agree with me. That if he doesn't show up for camp when he's under contract, there's going to be a lot of Steelers fans.
This is
like,
going to be,
all
yes.
right, now he's actually doing yes. something that causes me to no longer want to take
I
up his fight.
I think this is going
to
be another uncomfortable hour plus or whatever it is for you where the people are on your side about this. And that they
and
will
I can't
be mad.
Tell if you are because you're couching every point by saying
I'm not on
let
your
me
side.
Just say
he's,
I disagree that this is the wrong time to do it,
no,
but
I'm
have
not
to
on your
agree
I'm not
with
on
him
your
holding
side.
Out
in
if he thinks that's best.
In principle, if he thinks that's best, go for it, buddy. do your thing. I'm not on your side on this. I won't be mad. I'll be the continual, very studied, reasoned observer that I often am.
Donnie, how about if he holds out? Does it change for you? Like maybe you're ambivalent on it. He doesn't want to go to minicamp. Who cares about minicamp? It's football and shorts. They can find him, but they're not actually going to find him. How about if he's not there when training camp gets going next week?
I mean, I don't anticipate him being there when it starts next week.
All right,
because it seems way more nasty than what it was last time.
Right. So how will you feel about him electing to not be there?
I actually find myself taking the side of the player in these cases more often than not. I know he's coming off a bad season by his standards, but I do find myself on the player's side of, hey, I want this. I'm not showing up until I get it.
But they facilitate the player's unhappiness with his contract by not forcing him to practice. So why?
It also didn't really matter the last time. I mean, he was off to the side doing whatever. He showed up the first game of the season, and he was the best player on the field.
So you guys just aren't big, like, honor the contract guys at all?
No. Oh, I'm definitely not an honor the contract guy because teams don't honor the contract all the time. They write them, and they will force a lockout specifically to make sure they never have to do fully guaranteed contracts that they have to honor. I'm never going to be an honor the contract guy. It's an uneven playing field, and I will always, in that sense, side with the players.
But
I think honor the contract makes you a rube.
But
to
like
some
I just said, if a team can cut a guy on a Friday before a game,
yes,
why would you have any issue with a guy deciding on Friday, I'm worth more money than you're paying me, I don't want to play?
I mean, if it came down to that, like depending on who the guy was, I think there's levels to it for me too. If it's a guy who's made $400 million
or something. This guy's made a ton of money.
Yes, but I'm saying if it's like there's amounts of money where I would just say that's a little ridiculous. But when you put me to it like that, if a guy really wanted to say that to them, if it's a playoff game and he says, well, we're renegotiating right now, or else you're not going to get my services. It's an extreme example.
When they're not going to make you practice.
I'd probably just be like, eh, okay.
When they're not going to make you practice with the team and you just go there and basically either hang out or do your own thing, like, they are accommodating you. So, like,
I mean, it's an obvious tool.
Where's the need to hold out?
It's an obvious tool in his belt to express to them how serious he is. I mean, when you look at it that way, it's just another extension of negotiating tactics. They know now his side is more pissed than they were last time because if he in fact doesn't show up for camp and actually holds out, then I think it gives you a sign or gives them a sign from his perspective of where he's at.
All right, Donnie and Malzi say they're fine with TJ Watt holding out. How about you, 412-928-9370? Here's our number two fan, Jeff in South Park. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, so there's two reasons why I don't like it. And one is the timing, like Chris said, obviously, because he's not coming off
Chris
of his
doesn't
best
like
year.
The timing, and he's still on TJ Watt's side. How do you?
I mean, that's the most obvious part. He's not even coming off of his best year. But how about this? The whole reason why this is happening is because of his pointless rivalry with Myles Garrett. That's why. It's just another chapter in the pointless rivalry between TJ Watt and Garrett.
Why is it pointless?
I don't know. It's like when you have a rivalry with a neighboring town, you know, it's like,
I'll tell you why it's pointless, Jeff. It's actually, pointless is one way to put it. Pathetic is another way. We used to not care about who was better at maybe other than quarterback. Is our quarterback better than your guy in this town? But now there's so little team accolades to hang your hat on. There's so little, hold on, Jeff.
Giving out ridiculous contracts.
Yes.
Now dictate how we're going to do business.
It should not. You're right. It should not dictate how the Steelers do their business. But the Watt Garrett stuff, which also bleeds over to social media, I have found pathetic from moment one from the Steelers standpoint. The Browns are supposed to be.
Thank you for calling me pathetic, Malzi, because I get upset about this stuff.
No, no, no. The Browns are supposed to be the poverty franchise that cares more about what Myles Garrett does on the field and what accolades he gets because they know they're not doing squat squat as a team. And now Steelers fans are suddenly more concerned with that, maybe because it's a reasonable stand-in.
Wait a minute,
for
who cares about Steelers fans here?
Does.
We're talking about whether or not this should concern Watt, and it absolutely should. Because if you think you're close or better than the guy, and it's your turn to get paid, you should get more money than him. How do you think Dak Prescott got the most money of any player in the league? Not because he was the best quarterback. He was close, and it was his turn
then
to get paid.
Then he should wait till Micah Parsons signs his deal, too, and make sure he goes above all of them.
Okay, maybe that's not a bad strategy. But it, to me, if you're, Chris, you're making the argument that you're all about like these players maximizing the money they make. Watt's stats are better. They're the same age, and it's his turn to get paid. So how can you, with a straight face, argue that he should take less money than Garrett? There's no.
I'm not arguing that he should take less money. I'm arguing
that it's
that
not
I
pointless.
That I wouldn't give him the money.
But that okay. But the, it, that's not pointless for T.J. Watt.
You're missing the point of what I said was pointless. The whole Garrett Watt rivalry, in terms of how it plays out, like with what it's turned Steelers fandom into, is that you all have to have incredible sides
but
on whose edge rusher
Jeff's
is better.
Jeff's call was not about fans and their takes on it. It was Watt saying, the Browns gave this guy a ridiculous contract. You shouldn't even like compare yourself to that number. That was the point of Jeff's call, and I disagree with him on that. He's saying Watt doesn't deserve more money than Garrett because the Browns made a mistake.
No, I understand.
That's
that
ridiculous to me.
I am aware that from Watt's perspective, it doesn't matter if they made a mistake or not. He thinks he should get more money than the guy. That's the Steelers' problem now. And it is. I'm just saying, he's right to think that as a player, I just wouldn't give him the money. But he's totally fine to hold out. I'm not going to besmirch the guy or disparage the player for holding out, even if I think it's a bad idea in the long run for how it's going to go for him.
Where do you come down on a TJ Watt holdout if it happens next week? Would it tick you off that a guy under contract doesn't show up to work?
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to us on demand whenever you want, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, PM Team. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Mike Florio in 15 minutes, Aditi next hour. Jeff Hathorn, O'Neill Cruz's new agent, joins us at 5:15. Another edition of Judge Donnie, where we will be debating, is Mike Tomlin still a top 10 coach, with a CBS Sports article out this week.
We actually get to debate it?
Yeah.
And know it in, I should say, know in advance.
Well, we don't know who's debating advance? Which side. That's still going to come down to the rock, paper, scissors contest beforehand. Tomlin as a top 10 coach. It's possible.
I was going to say, if I win that rock, paper, scissors, I can already just tell you what I'm going to do.
And what's that?
Leave it up to chance. Let you stew in ambiguity. Well, you wonder what I'd actually do.
We're going to get back to your calls here, though, because I promised we had them. Here is Cam Hayward moments ago on Rich Eisen talking about the Watt situation.
We've talked, but like we don't really talk about like contracts. But, man, that's my brother. Like, I want that dude to get paid what he deserves. That dude is one of the most fierce and best players in our league, and he's respected throughout the league. We talk about, as a defense, we circle players on offense, but offensive players have to circle number 90 week in and week out. And there's a level of respect there. I've had the best time being able to play with him. And, I hope this year is not the last time we play together, because that dude, that's my running mate. And we create a lot of havoc together. And I just want to see that guy continue to be a Pittsburgh Steeler and be a one helmet guy.
And then he also said he would storm into Omar's office and make sure a trade didn't happen.
Why does everything involving Watt involve somebody storming into somebody's office to get the deal done? Because Watt's storming in to get his deal done before
say,
the first game of the
year. He claimed that's how it went down.
Tears in his eyes, I'm sure.
There
big,
will be
strong
no
men
storming
crying.
Of the castle this time. He will not be going in there and saying, I'll accept more money. I can guarantee you that. Here is one of our favorites, Mr. Old School, on this dilemma. If Watt holds out next week, will you have a problem with it? Is it okay when you're under contract to not go to work? Mr. Old School's take. Hello.
Hey, guys. What's going on? And here's my take, guys, on the whole thing. First off, I think if he got a contract, he needs to go to work. He needs to be an example as a leader on that
team. Absolutely. Your nickname is Mr. Old School. That is a very old school thought to say, under contract, go to work. That's how it works.
That's right. And here's the thing, too. Hayward was in a similar situation. Hayward showed up Hayward got paid. I think the Steelers will be honorable. And Watt to have this thing up his behind about he's better than Myles Garrett. At the end of the day, it's potato, potato. He is a year and a half older than Myles Garrett. And when you look at his, look at the stats, Myles Garrett gets double teamed 30% of the time. Watt gets double teamed 15% of the time. He plays against the best tackle on the team. Watt plays against the right tackle. So people can argue that both ways, but at the end of the day, you shouldn't be trying to compare yourself to him and hold the Steelers accountable for a ridiculous contract that Cleveland paid. Watt is not worth a five-year, $41 million, $200 million. He's not worth that. And he needs to come get reasonable and show up and then work out an agreement that him and the Steelers can live with.
Well, I mean, Dak Prescott got more money than Patrick Mahomes and he's older. So that's kind of the way it works, Mr. Old School.
I got it. But what I'm saying is that you're talking about paying a man that's getting ready to be 30-something years old $200 million.
Yes.
He's not worth getting paid $200 million.
My guess is if he were a free agent, somebody would give him that money. That's
probably
my take.
The Browns.
Yeah, the question is, would you give him that money?
No, I would not. I would not. No, those are two different questions, though. Is he worth that money? Yes. Would I give it to him? No. Is Paul Skeens worth $500 million? Yes. Do I think the Pirates will ever give it to him? No. I don't want the Steelers to do it. By the way, if you force me to make a call on this, will he take less or will the Steelers pay him more than Garrett?
They'll cave.
That's what I'm guessing too, yes.
They already gave up some of their leverage. One helmet guy from the owner.
How about you, Donnie? Where would you come down on that?
I'll just continue to point out the rhetorical framing you're using. Are you okay with a guy who's under contract not showing up to work? Remind me again if teams care about cutting guys who are still technically under contract.
No, you are doing
contract.
That part.
Well,
yeah,
we're going to go tit for tat on that one.
If we say the same thing over and over again, that's going to make for a very boring radio show if I say the same thing you say when I know that's what you're going to say. Donnie, your thoughts?
I think they're absolutely going to cave.
Yeah. So then it's not going to look like a ridiculous contract for Myles Garrett if the Steelers won up it.
I do think one of the
it's
weaker,
not going to be an outlier anymore.
One of the weaker parts of Watt's whole, like, the conceit here, I will say, is his brother going on the air and saying you could have gotten this done last year and it would have been cheaper for you, while at the same time now the stance from them is, well, wait a minute, hold on a second, Miles just reset the market, we have to be above him. It's way more, I think, pretty obviously, at least to me, it's way more about TJ Watt wanting to max out his guaranteed money and using Myles Garrett as a prop to help him accomplish that. Because if he was willing to sign before last year, he wouldn't have gotten more money than Garrett got this time around.
But it's also economics 101. And let me explain to you why that is. If you would have said last year, yeah, I'll sell you my house for $500,000. But then 6 months later, two houses down, a house sells for $650,000. You're probably not selling your house for $500,000 anymore because the market changed. Your house is now worth more. That's what J.J. Watt is saying.
I'm aware that that's what Watt is saying. But,
and he's right.
But he still is making it like pretty obvious now. Like, I know Garrett hadn't signed the deal yet, but he was kind of telegraphing that TJ would have done this knowing that houses might appreciate in value. He just wanted to pursue the guaranteed money.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, there's an understanding that how things appreciate, prices go up. But what I'm saying is they clearly just wanted to get it done earlier and lock it in earlier.
But Chris, if they did it last year for that price, let's say they do it for $37 million a year.
Okay.
If they do it last year and he makes that deal, it doesn't look like a bad deal because we don't know. We don't have the knowledge of what the Myles Garrett contract is going to look like. If he signs that deal now for him and for his agents, it looks like a bad deal.
I am aware of that.
Here is Donovan on the fan. Hello, Donovan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call today.
Sure.
I think I'm on the side of T.J. Watt because I love him as a player and I will forever love him as a Steeler. But I agree it's his turn to be paid like Cam Hayward even said, you know? And just I think this is to the point where he's going to show up.
What if he doesn't, though? What if he doesn't? What if he doesn't?
I'm not going to lose any respect because, like some of you guys have said, the league doesn't always honor contracts, and they cut players left and right, you know?
Yeah, I think that people have very selective takes on that, though, too. Because, like, maybe they'll grant TJ Watt some grace because he's been one of their best players for a long period of time. If, I don't know, the 25th best player on the roster used what you're saying, Chris, and said, you know what, I want a new deal. I don't want to show up. Because guys like me can get cut whenever the team feels like it.
Sure, there's a real-world application to it. I hate in principle people, without probably even realizing the degree to which they're doing it, doing the, you're under contract, show up. Owner hears that, they probably are like licking their chops. That's all. Like, I get it. In real-world terms, you can't be a guy who's a special teams ace and say, I deserve X, Y, and Z.
Bob is next. Hello, Bob.
Put me on.
You're on, Bob.
We put you on.
Bob?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Chris, I'm good friends with your former basketball coach. He said hi.
Hello.
Which one? Chris played basketball for many different teams over a long period
of time. High school, grade school. What are we talking about here?
Parochial school?
High school.
Parochial levels?
Coach Long?
Dave Long, yes.
Yes.
Were you a big fan?
I liked Coach Long. He, I think, was probably driven insane by me.
He has good stories about you, but I want to talk about TJ.
Yes. You're hoping that's why you called in, not to reminisce about Chris Muller's high school basketball days.
Well, Coach Long's a very, I think very highly of him.
Okay, we got that point, Bob. We figured that out. What were you going to say about what?
They should trade him.
And how would you feel if he held out a camp?
Well, the problem I have with Watt is, you know, he's coming off his worst year.
So you would have a problem if he held out?
I really wouldn't have a problem. I have a problem with the whole defense.
Okay, thank you for moving the goalposts, and say hello to Coach Long for us. Hello, Marcus in the car. Hello, Marcus.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man, we're good.
Hey, I usually end up siding with players. But I think in this situation, I mean, it's my team. I'm looking at it at that. TJ Watt needs to think about the now. I mean, I get that their window of opportunity to make that money is narrowing and narrowing by the day, and he's aging. But at the same time, too, he's wanting $40 million. I mean, this
he wants more than that, by the way. Not that it's like a ton more, but he wants more than $40 million because that would be less than Garrett. Yep.
Yeah. But he's wanting more than Garrett. He needs to think about the now. They're trying to go all in. I mean, quote, they're trying to go all in. If he has any kind of aspirations on trying to get a Super Bowl, he needs to think about that. Maybe he needs to think about a team-friendly deal. If he has aspirations
on trying to get a Super Bowl, he should try to get traded to a team that can actually win one this year.
Marcus, I'm going to put you on hold, and you're going to get the Buccos tickets.
Also, is it just about beating? Well, forget it.
Go ahead, say it.
Is it about beating Myles Garrett only, or is it about being the highest paid? Because if it's about being the highest paid, he should wait till Parsons signs.
Well, but here's the thing about that. Parsons so much younger. I think if Max Crosby had signed a deal that was more than Garrett, he would want to top Crosby, too. Like, it's...
If it's just, like, the quarterback thing.
It makes for great copy that, like, the guy that's the highest paid one is Garrett,
agency.
And they don't like each other.
Yes, sure.
But...
But
yeah,
every
agent
wants the guys who are at the elite of the elite, which he still gets mentioned in and should be.
If Hutchinson got $42 million a year from the Bengals,
he'd want 40.
Exactly.
And Hutchinson's young too, though. You're talking about Hendrickson.
Yeah, that's right. I got my H's confused.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Schwarber. In the air to center field, headed towards the wall, and dead center.
That's huge for the National League.
Oh! Schwarbaum's in the All-Star game! Oh! Tied at 3.
AL rallied in the game. NL has rallied in the swing.
Oh! With the hat trick! Look out, Chop House! National League takes the lead 4-3.
Unbelievable.
Check out Donnie Football, not only on Bucko Talk, Saturday mornings talking ball, but on our YouTube channel, his sit-down convo with Pat Fryermuth. It's called Breaking Bread, and it's brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread. Everywhere else, they're talking about Schwarber and they're saying this. Should that be the way games are decided in extra innings in the regular season? Pompiani tweeted that question out from a pub in Scotland today with the video of it accompanying it. Should that replace the ghost runner on second base? The reason why I'm saying it's happening everywhere else but here is because we don't give a rat's ass about that stuff here. Because it's so far down the list of priorities in baseball that Pirates fans really can't, like...
It's not even a conceivable thing. It's so out of sight. It's out of sight, out of mind. Why would it matter to us?
There's, like, one thing that everybody cares about in baseball, for if you're a Pirates fan, and that's team payroll. And then the second biggest issue people have is, like, I don't know, the gap is the size of the Grand Canyon, which apparently is on fire, between
not
that
great.
And whatever else is next. You know, in 2013 through 2015, when the Pirates were good, and, like, you lose to St. Louis late in the season by a handful of games, and you end up having to play a one-game playoff against Jake Arrieta instead of hosting a playoff series, you know, something like this would have been very topical back then.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're such a bad team, it, like, the automated strike zone's another example of that.
Just out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
It's so far down the list of things that I would talk about pertaining to baseball at large I don't know. It would be like a flippant remark by me.
And the baseball fan in me has opinions on both of those things. But the Pirates fan in me is like, why do I even care about how games get decided in the 10th inning or 11th inning? We stink.
Exactly. We're not even going to get there. We're not. Yeah. By the way, for the record, if I'm going to bring this up, if you're going to bring this up, one thing that sports should like learn from, I guess I'll say the Masters and I'll say Wimbledon. Two big events that haven't changed really, despite pressure, probably, like, in terms of like the Masters doesn't commercialize it. They keep a lot of stuff in-house. They keep the food prices low.
Yeah.
Wimbledon kind of does their thing. Obviously, certain things have changed with both for the better.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know. You don't have to take everything people like in like a one dose setting and say, all right, some is good, more is better. Like, that was a nice way to end an all-star game because it was electric the way they presented it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need it, and I don't want it to end extra inning baseball games that count.
But
just like the shootout in hockey.
Yes, but the two things you brought up are like screw-up proof. The Masters is established as the biggest golf tournament in the world, and Wimbledon is the biggest tennis tournament, and the NFL is the same thing. People are going to watch the NFL regardless. The other sports have to make decisions on stuff like this because they're fighting for eyeballs and they're trying to grow their sport, you know, and have it rise the hierarchy of sports in terms of popularity in this country. Like, hey, we've done things and we're traditional about it. If Major League Baseball had, you know, emphasized that, we wouldn't have the pitch clock right now, which was a huge breakthrough for the sport.
Okay.
And I do think, like, I'm not one of these old school baseball guys anymore. I've given that up. I do think if you ask the question, would this make a game more entertaining? And the answer is yes, you should strongly consider it. The reason why I'm against this is because I do think the novelty would wear off quickly. The same way the shootout novelty is worn off in hockey.
Shootout novelty wore out very quickly to the point where yours truly is advocating for the return of ties.
Well, you're on the record of saying you've always been a tie guy.
Good tie. I mean,
you love ties. You've said, "What's wrong with leaving a hockey game after 2.5 hours and everybody got a point, and no one got a win?"
It yielded some great headlines. The choke at Doak in Florida State is a tie game. Harvard beats Crimson 20 or Harvard beats Yale 29-29 or whatever.
You've always loved ties,
but I think with baseball, like, also it would just be. I don't know. It would just feel like beyond the pale as far as like
beyond the pale. That's
I just think it would not feel, expect
you to take that
it would
side
feel
of
ultra,
beyond the
it would
pale.
Feel
take.
Ultra gimmicky, like the beer league.
Well, it
softball
already is
runner.
Gimmicky.
But that's like okay. Yes, you're putting essentially a ghost runner on second base, but you still have to play baseball. This just now is like true analog to the shootout. By the way, somebody else pointed out they admitted like in so far as how they determined who was going to hit for each team.
Yeah.
Like it was about available players. They admitted that guys were just piecing out of there.
Yeah, Judge and Otani had already left.
Skubal had left. Skeens had left. Like bad look for baseball, I
think. Well, Skubal was still there and came back out.
But like, don't you think that's kind of a bad look that it cast a light on the fact that guys were leaving that game early? Don't you want to avoid a situation
getting
where
getting a head start on their vacation was more important than seeing the final game?
I don't know. That for baseball, that's like a little hiccup that they probably didn't need.
Another Chris asks on Twitter, if the Pirates, if this were adopted in regular baseball and there was a swing off with three guys involving the 2025 Pirates, who would the Pirates pick to be in the swing off? Donnie, would you like to answer that?
God.
Who would be their three choices in a swing off?
Easy one.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Can I bring Sawinski up from the minors since I think he can hit batting practice?
You cannot.
Still?
He's not
Although
on the team.
He might strike out.
I think I would still go with Kutch
right.
at 38 years old.
There's two.
Are we going with Reynolds or are we putting him in the doghouse?
You'd have to.
I think I'd go Reynolds.
I think you'd have to start with those three guys and let them sink or swim because Kutch is going to take it personally if he's not included in that. And so is Reynolds as the team's highest paid player.
Which
so
Pirate?
You have to make it those three. And then if like guys got cold and weren't good at it, well, then you could make adjustments from there. But that would have to be your three.
There was a Penguins player named Eric Christensen who Bob Arey used to call Mr. Shootout because he was ridiculously high percentage.
And other Malkin hated doing it.
Other than being like a great shootout guy, he was a nondescript NHL forward.
And Malkin was fine with not being one of the three because he's like,
he's
I hate this.
Not good at it.
I don't want to do breakaways.
Who would be your Pirates candidate, your random Pirates candidate to be the Eric Christensen of these?
We're doing this year's team?
Yeah, it can't. So Cruz, even though he's hitting for very low average, doesn't count. Skeens?
Yep. You think that's ridiculous?
I mean, it would be funny if like IKF had the Ichiro thing in him where he could hit the ball like 405 feet.
I honestly, I don't think I don't agree with people that he would have made a great two-way player. But is it really an insane take that he might have the second or third or fourth most power on the team? I don't think that's a crazy take. Look at the size of him.
I know, but the one time he hit in a wood bat league,
I know, but Chris, that's not batting practice.
Well, then by look at the size of him, Brad Eldridge should have been one of the greatest hitters of all time.
But it's a different skill. I bet if Brad Eldridge were on the Pirates now, he would be good in a competition like that. Rowdy Tellez would probably be good in a swing-off situation.
I'd go with Horwitz.
But he's like a singles and doubles hitter to me.
Yeah, but if you think he's got like good control of the bat, conceptually, he should be able to... Almost any good major leaguer or decent major league hitter should be able to hit.
You know who I'd want in this from the Pirates of the last few years? Actually, a little bit longer than that. Give me Big Matt Stairs in a swing-off.
I mean, Stairs would hit some misses.
Love that dude.
I think he would have been the most entertaining of almost all of them. Garrett Jones would have done pretty well.
Yeah, that's another really good one.
I'm just thinking of, is there like a really good player who'd have done horribly?
Donnie said Michael Morris used to hit absolute moonshots
Michael
in batting
Morris,
practice.
Yeah, he would hit bombs. He would hit absolute
He was a giant
bombs.
Guy. Vogelback was really big, but he was a singles hitter.
They had a guy.
And walks guy.
They had a guy. Well, you know who would have been fun to watch? Guy who swung, looked like out of his shoes every time. Jeremy Burnitz.
Yep.
He had was a big one-handed finish.
As a Brewer. And as a horrible Met. Yeah. But, yep, that's getting debated other places, but we don't care because it's like, hey, our team's spending $87 million on players and the Mets are spending $350. Let's get that figured out first before we, you know.
Well, the good thing for you is that your two favorite teams combined are at least spending $437 million on their rosters.
Yeah, and that team that spent over 300, what was the aggregate score of how they did when they played here? What was it again?
43 to 4? No, it was like 30-something to 4, yeah. Okay. Yeah, not great for you.
No, was not.
That's all right. I'm sure it'll get
better. Well, it was bad for the Mets fan in me and good for the Pirates fan in
me. So, like, how did that work? Was that, again, a Brady Quinn sister kind of
No,
bit?
It was tough because, like...
Did you bet on either
the
one
Pirate
of the teams?
Season is already down the tubes, and I want the Mets to do well and win a World Series for the first time in my lifetime. And yeah, so, you know, Pirates fans came out of the woodwork to make fun of me for it.
Fred texts the show, why is Henry Davis not being mentioned for the swing off? I don't know, because he'd probably hold the bat so tight he would turn it into sawdust.
He sucks. There's my answer. Let's move on.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.